Welcome to CRE Radio with Howard Klein, radio for and about the commercial real estate professional. Our focus is exploring issues facing landlords and tenants, property and asset managers, investors, brokers, lenders, and everyone in the industry. Our style is conversation over coffee with highly experienced commercial real estate professionals. Over 35 years, Howard's legal and commercial real estate practice has centered on broker, leasing, and property management issues. CRE Radio is presented with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our audience. Access our archive shows, upcoming schedule, and engaging articles at creradio.com or subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for CRE Radio. And now, here's Howard Klein.
Welcome to CRE Radio. And today's show is going to be an interesting show. We're having a conversation with Alan Buchanan, who is a very experienced real estate broker with Lien Associates in Orange County, California. And Alan is in the process of hiring, no, actually he has hired, a marketing assistant, which is the phrase that he has used or the term that he has used. And this is after 30 some odd years of being in the business, I believe, although he'll correct me. This is truly the first time that he has hired someone on his own, which is a testimony to a couple of things, which we will get to, Cheap. And and then why don't we introduce Alan? Alan, welcome to the show, and why don't you tell us who you are and what you do?
Thank you, Howard. I really, really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, and we get to do so over CRE Radio is even better. Alan Buchanan, and I am a commercial real estate broker in Orange County, as you mentioned, but I primarily represent owners and occupants of industrial buildings, and that's primarily within Southern California, although I do have some clients that occasionally take me outside the state of California. And I do that generally between maybe 10 and, say, 100,000 square feet, unless someone in your listening audience would like to refer me a bigger deal, at which point I'm more than happy to oblige.
Okay. You also, as I understand it, do some social media stuff. Why don't you give us a quick lowdown, because that's how we met.
That's absolutely how we met, and I'm happy to do that. Thank you for that lead. I have been active in the media since 2008. I originally started because all three of our kids were on Facebook, and it was a great way to kind of keep in touch slash spy on them while they were away at school. That morphed into doing some blogging because my wife Carla mentioned to me one day that I ought to quote-unquote work out loud, and I asked her what that meant, and she says, just do what you do every day, but write about it. So I started blogging in the summer of 2010, and I followed the lead of some of the stalwarts in our business, Duke Long and Coy Davidson being a couple. I really got active in the Twitter sphere about a year ago, and that's how Howard and I met, via Twitter. But I produce, in addition to the weekly blog, I produce a little video clip called Tuesday Traffic Tips. And the idea happened upon me one day as I was driving into the office and stuck in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and I thought my thoughts quickly went to all things commercial real estate, and I thought, you know, why not do something that would help others in our profession that might be stuck in traffic also. So the first Tuesday Traffic Tips, done in the palatial studios of Tuesday Traffic Tips, my car, was actually done while driving, and I got such an outpouring of disbelief, especially from our friend Linda Day Harrison, that now they're done parked. So we've had a lot of fun with the Tuesday Traffic Tips over the last year.
Yeah, now everyone has to understand, you didn't do this with an iPhone sitting in the car. You were holding an iPad while you were driving doing this, right?
Yes, and I used both hands, and so some might ask, how on earth did you steer? Well, that can be accomplished with your knees if
sure.
You're somewhat dexterous, which I did, and yeah.
Yeah, you're a tall person. You're like me. We know how to drive with our knees.
I took hands-free to a whole new meaning.
Yeah, and then of course you stopped doing that because they passed the law that says that you can't text. I actually have a pair of Google glasses, and there have been all kinds of issues about wearing those in an active state where you're actually videotaping or it's on while you're driving. Why don't we just kind of get into the show? Because you and I could basically chat and chat and chat forever. Why don't you describe what it is that you're intending to do and why?
At its very essence, I'm intending to free up more of my day to spend it more productively.
Okay, and how do you intend to go about doing that?
By outsourcing through a marketing associate some of the integral parts of the deal-making process that are time-consuming, cumbersome, and candidly that I hate doing, which will allow me to do more of the things that I love doing, like talking to you on CRE Radio.
Yeah, hopefully you make money doing that. Now, let's go to the term marketing associate. Why are you using that phrase or term?
A couple of reasons. I want the person that I've hired to have a certain esteem attached to the title. And as we know, you know, as Americans always affix a lot of status to titles. So I thought calling this person my assistant was really the wrong thing to call them. He's certainly not going to be an assistant. He is actually going to be an integral part of my commercial real estate practice. I also want him to have a real estate license, which he's now engaged in some courses to get that accomplished within the next 45 to 60 days. So it seemed to me that what he's going to be doing and the way in which he's going to be aiding my practice really fit more in line with the title of marketing associate as opposed to assistant.
Now, while you use the description of he, which is accurate in this particular case because you are hiring a he or him, and you do have special circumstances here. The gender doesn't really make any difference. Why don't you mention, you know, what your special circumstances are? Because in essence, you're killing two birds with one stone, which is probably a bad description.
Yeah, it's I'm candidly very, very, very excited about it. The person that I have hired, not am going to hire, the person that I have hired who starts on the 28th of this month is a young man who I'm very, very fond of. His name is Joshua Harper, and he happens to be my daughter Paige's husband of a little over a year. And it came about in sort of an interesting way. I've known Joshua now for about 3 years. He and Paige dated for a year before they got engaged, and then were engaged for a year, and then have been married for a year. So I've known him quite a while. And I really enjoy him as a person, and I never thought that he and I would end up working together. But my daughter and I are a lot alike, and that we're both very type A and very headstrong. And not to suggest that Joshua is contrary to that, but Joshua is comfortable sort of playing that second lieutenant role, and I need to be the general. It's interesting, my daughter also kind of needs to be the general. So the fact that he has a special personality that is very good for a type A type personality, and so it sort of happened by chance in some regards, and also by design in others. Our daughter got a very good job offer in Southern California with a good friend and client of ours, Raymond Handling Solutions, I think also a friend of CRE Radio. And she was interested in potentially pursuing the job, but the question of, well, gee, what do we do with how do we find Joshua a job? And I said, well, you know what? I believe that Joshua and I could work very well together, and let me think about hiring him as my marketing associate, because that would allow me to get the support I'm seeking, but also allow me to create some legacy. Because when you start getting north of 50, you start to get concerned about, gee, why have I done this all these years, and to whom am I leaving my my practice, et cetera. So it enables, frankly, me to do both, to do a really good thing for our daughter and our son-in-law, provide me the support I need, but also create a legacy that hopefully those two will be able to carry on far after you and I are gone, Howard.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. But it's a pretty risky thing. We need to take a short break now. We're talking with Alan Buchanan and trying to help him deal with the training and hiring of an assistant to make him more efficient in his real estate practice. And when we come back, we want to hear a little bit more about what Alan doesn't like to do that he's going to dump off on his son-in-law. If you don't think that's risky, I don't know what is. So we'll be right back.
CRE Radio is supported by Prospect Now. Locate building owner principals faster and smarter at prospectnow.com. By The Broker List. Find brokers, deals, services, and vendors free online at thebrokerlist.com. And by Techniques Marketing. Grow your key account revenues at TechniquesMarketing.com.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to RetailTenants.org. That's RetailTenants.org. Find out more today.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com.
If you have questions or a point you would like to make during the live show, call in at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue to speak live with Howard and his guests. That's 619 area, 393-6492 during the live show. Then press 1 to be placed in queue.
Okay, glad to have you back with us today. Before the break, we were talking about Alan Buchanan, the dumpor, and his son-in-law, the dumpee. I'm giving away that I'm a lawyer now, obviously, speaking those terms. So let's talk a little bit, Alan, if you don't mind, about what it is that you don't like to do that you'd rather have your son-in-law do or your assistant.
Absolutely. So your audience is predominantly commercial real estate brokers, and all of them will understand what I'm about to say. There are elements of the transaction, and maybe those elements would include, you pull a list of inventory, you're going to take an occupant out to show them buildings, you've now got to track down all the brochures for those buildings, all the showing protocols, and those sorts of calls and that sort of activity just takes forever. And it's incredibly inefficient, and why someone hasn't created a way to make that more streamlined, but no one's managed to get it right. So we have to do it manually. So that's a huge time suck if you enjoy representing occupants, which I do. So that will be one of the tasks that Joshua will busy himself with. The other task that is incredibly important yet drives me crazy is the incoming calls. Put yourself on the flip side of what I just described. So if you have listings, you represent owners, obviously folks are going to need information. They're going to need brochures. They're going to need showing protocols, et cetera. So, and it's very important, because I'm on the occupant side quite a bit, it's very important that your response to those incoming calls is very timely, because as we all know, a lot of times occupant requirements are very time sensitive. So having a support person to handle both sides of that, in my mind, are critically, critically important. The other thing that, and I wouldn't categorize this as dumping, but what I believe is very important is when we're immersed as commercial real estate practitioners, when we're immersed in making deals, which is the way we make money, marketing, for all intents and purposes, stops until such time as we're able to get back into that mode of let's mail out some brochures, let's update our Facebook page, let's tweet out a blog, et cetera. So those are three basic things that Joshua will busy himself doing almost immediately.
Yeah, you know, that's something unique about what I do as a lawyer and what you do as a real estate broker is you're not just a salesperson where you go ahead, put the deal together, and then hand it off to someone else. You spend, you know, most of your time trying to kick up business. You spend a bunch of your time keeping abreast of the market and the properties, and then hopefully you spend a whole bunch of time closing deals and actually making money. Most brokers.
Right.
Yeah, I think most brokers. See, in the salesperson, when you think of someone who sells widgets, what they're doing is they're out there and they say, okay, here's a deal. You just bought these widgets and someone else manufactures it. Someone else ships it. Someone else does all the marketing. They're just out there selling. And you've got to do
right. Everything.
You're the big kahuna, the chief cook in bottle wash. And that's a difficult thing to manage everything. So I get the idea that we're talking about marketing. Now, this is very similar to what an intern would normally do, is it not?
I would suspect so, although our company doesn't generally have interns. We've had some over the years, but we've been very sporadic about hiring interns, summer-type helpers that come in and do market research and what have you. We have another level within our company called a runner. I'm sure most companies have runners, and that would be we call them associates in training. They're not a full associate yet, but they're learning to be an associate, and that's a paid position where they're paid a certain small amount monthly, and then once they pass a six-month point, then they go on to hopefully being able to source and make their own deals. You know, in my mind, that system is fraught with disadvantages, and what we end up producing a lot of times is folks that unfortunately can't stand on their own, especially in today's marketplace, and so consequently they sort of wander around for a couple of years until they really figure out a niche or really figure out someone to partner with. And so a part of this program with Joshua is to also circumvent that disadvantage, if you will. So I'm paying Joshua quite a bit more than your typical associate in training would be paid. I'm also giving him an incentive from my production, which will hopefully encourage him to work a little bit harder. And my goal for him is to someday be a deal sourcing, deal making partner here at Lee & Associates.
Well, let's pause briefly for a few words from our beloved sponsors. So remember to stay with us. I do want to talk about how what you're doing compares to what is done, that triaging that is done, my experience is typically in other brokerage companies. We'll be right back.
CRE Radio is supported by Monogram Magic. For the best in corporate apparel, visit logostolife.com. By Note Marketplace. Buy and sell notes online at notemarketplace.com. And by Building Block CRE. manage contacts, properties, listings, and more at blockscre.com.
The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County, that's IREMOC.org. Learn more today.
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site, PopUpInsider.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or email to questions@creradio.com.
Welcome back to CRE Radio. Thanks for being with us today. Alan, when we were last talking, you had indicated that you are actually paying your son-in-law more than what is typically paid to an intern. Is that because it's your son-in-law, or do you believe that that kind of incentive is preferable to what is typically done?
It's not because it's my son-in-law, and it's an experiment. Not to the extent that if it doesn't work, we're going to dismiss it, but it's an experiment in a model that I hope my company will adopt because I believe that it's going to be wildly successful. But the pay structure that Joshua and I arrived at was based upon a couple of factors. I wanted it to be incentive-based. I didn't want it to simply be a base salary and that's all you had the potential of earning because I want Joshua to get used to the taste of a transaction and how the harder you work, hopefully the more money you make in our business. But also he was in the transportation industry back in the state of Arkansas, so he had a base salary, was used to a base salary. I'm also not providing any health care benefits for Joshua. Those are going to be taken care of by my daughter's employer. So it enabled me to pay a bit more in base salary than our normal associates in training would earn.
Okay. So why haven't you, now you've been in the business a long time. Why haven't you had an assistant before?
The biggest reason is because I'm a cheapskate.
Oh, you just stole my thunder.
Our structure at Lee & Associates is a bit different than the structure of most nationally based companies, a CBRE, a Cushman & Wakefield, et cetera. We work at Lee & Associates because we want to preserve as much revenue as we can as opposed to making 50% of every dollar and having runners out the wazoo or assistants out the wazoo. So the easiest way to describe it is Lean Associates does not pay for an assistant for me or a marketing associate for me. Now, we have ample support, but is it exclusively mine to do with as I please? No. And I have, over the years, partnered with various and sundry folks when it was transaction time. And I looked up one day and realized that partnering with folks for them to do what a marketing associate could be doing in a transaction was very, very expensive. And I believe that with the elimination of all the partnering, I'll still partner because I enjoy working with other people, and I can't cover the market area that I want to cover without leveraging others' expertise. But to be required to partner with someone because I want to be out and about and doing things that are going to make rain, I won't have to do that anymore. So I believe that at the end of the year, we'll be able to look back and say, wow, had I partnered on XYZQ deal, I would have distributed X amount of income to all of those folks that I partnered with. Now, I've paid an associate, enabling me to do more of what will make me money, make us money, and I believe that, we're going to end up all being better as a result.
Well, this falls into the general category of how, and this is something that I learned many years ago as an attorney, having someone else do the same, if there's something that someone else can do that you're doing, and they can do it for much less money, that makes utter sense. You're basically leveraging other people's efforts. So, for example, if there are things that someone else can do for $20 an hour that I'm doing, it makes utter sense to do that. What took you so long to understand that? You know, for a smart guy...
I've understood it for years. What took me so long, once again, is I'm a cheapskate. And when you let's say that I bump into a transaction that you have as an expertise. Let's say just hypothetically that you lease and sell restaurants, like our friend Mark Chase does. And I bump into a restaurant requirement. Now, my alternatives are I can either just simply call Mark and say, hey, here's this deal, and, you know, flip me a 20% referral in the event that the deal happens. But that requires me to partner with someone who has that expertise. However, I'm not going to Mark Chase and saying, Mark, I'm going to write you a check for X amount of dollars so that you and I can work on this deal. If there are no fees earned, he's compensated the exact same way I'm compensated once the transaction takes place. So if there are no fees earned, then neither one of us makes any money, but neither one of us have expended any dollars with the exception of some time investment. So what's taken me so long to come around to it is it forced me to pay for something before the value is obtained, if you will. But what really makes this neat is that not only am I paying a family member, but there's that whole legacy piece of this, which I don't want to underestimate. I don't want to undervalue because that's a very valuable piece at the stage I'm in my career. I have 30 years worth of real estate knowledge about how to build transactions and how to create relationships and do all the things that we do, and it would be a real waste if that went unutilized. So my alternatives are you involve someone that's not a family member, you give them the expertise, but I haven't been real thrilled about doing that. You follow? I'm not here to help someone else create a legacy. The fact that it's a family member makes it all that much more palatable.
We'll be right back with more from Alan Buchanan here on CRE Radio.
CRE Radio is supported by the National Retail Tenants Association. Learn more at retailtenants.org. By the Institute of Real Estate Management, supporting you at every stage of your career. And by Tactics, the magazine for shopping center marketing directors. Visit tacticsmagazine.com.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to ProspectNow.com and enter the promo code Howard. Visit ProspectNow.com. How about now? While you're thinking about it.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @creradio or send an email to questions@creradio.com.
Okay, we're discussing how to become more efficient with a marketing assistant for commercial real estate brokers. And I knew there was a question I wanted to ask just before the break. And I forgot, so I put the break on right away. The thought was in there and out. I had a senior moment. The part of what is motivating you, other than the fact that it's your son-in-law, is the fact that you're very busy right now. If you weren't so busy and if you weren't a rainmaker, the idea of having an intern or a marketing assistant really doesn't make as much sense.
It probably doesn't in one sense, in the sense that you don't have the time to invest in their training. If you're not terribly busy with transactions, maybe one could argue that you do have the time to invest in their training. So the fact that I'm very busy and he can instantly jump in and help me is certainly a big benefit. Right. But it could come at the expense of some of the hyper-training that you could do if you weren't as busy with transactions.
Which is the perfect segue to my next question is, how do you best prepare for a new trainee or intern? Or in your case, how are you best preparing? This may or may not be the best way to do it, but I and let me throw this one more thing in, because you did mention the time that it takes to train. I have brought in associates and law clerks and secretaries. I kind of wait until well past the time that I can get everything done. So I know that, okay, now's the time to bring someone in. And I bring someone in, and then the real work starts. And I tend not to train them properly. So what's the best way to prepare for that? And then train. I probably should have Rod Santomassimo on to tell us about this. But how are you going about doing it?
Well, fortunately, I've had quite a bit of time to think about this. We started conceptually discussing this program about 60 days ago. And my wife and I initially talked about it, and then that was more done in sort of a general sense, not with any specific person in mind. So we really happened upon the idea that probably is a good time to do it. This year would be a good time to do it. And so I've had an awful lot of time to think about it. I have imagined that I had someone by my side and what they would be doing each and every day, how would we keep them busy, what am I doing during my day-to-day activities that I could, in your words, dump off to someone. And so what I did after I've thought about this and mulled through it, I created a list, a pretty comprehensive list of about 15 to 20 items that I want to phase in as objectives and goals. And certainly there's sub-steps for each of those objectives and goals. But that's the way I've gone about it. Now I have had folks in the past that I've brought into the business as my runners that are now full producing rainmakers, and I do have sort of the heart of a trainer, if you will. I trained when I was with Procter & Gamble. I have done a lot of speaking and training and seminars and such. So I have that as a passion, so I really believe that it's going to be pretty easy to do. At least that's my hope.
Well, in this particular case, you already have a built-in candidate. It might be a little bit different when you have the list of items that they need to accomplish rather than saying, okay, here are the skills that my son-in-law has. How do I match those skills with the things that we need to accomplish right away? So I think what the preparation is exactly what you just said is you got to go, okay, here's the whole list of what we ultimately want to accomplish. And then what is it that's reasonable that can be accomplished based upon his particular set of skills within X period of time?
Correct?
Right.
Right.
And have you discussed any of this with him?
In very general terms, we have. We've been very busy getting them settled and getting their apartment rented and furnished and getting a car purchased because Paige had a company car in her previous position, and now she's got a car allowance. So she's had a shop for cars and all the things that accompany moving across country. So, frankly, we've been very, very busy doing those sorts of things. He and I have talked in general terms. He should be tuned in today to be listening to this program. So a lot of what we're discussing may be the first time he's heard some of this. And hopefully I still have a marketing associate after he listens to this.
Okay, it's now my time to say all the bad things about you that he doesn't already know.
I'm sure he already knows them. Or he certainly has an idea. Well, because he's good friends with our middle son, and I'm sure our middle son has shared with him some tales of the past.
So I would think the first thing is when he's ready to pay full attention is to sit down and talk with him about, okay, here are the things that I think we can accomplish, and let's talk about, you know, your skill set and what you might need. Because I think the expectations, controlling the expectations is so extremely important for both of you.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Go ahead.
And just watching, Joshua and Paige have been living in our house for the last week while they get themselves up and running in their new place, and just watching his attention to detail and watching how he communicates and watching how he listens and watching how he engages with others, and I've been very, very impressed. He doesn't know, I'm sure, that I've even been observing all that, but I have been observing him not only as his father-in-law, but I've also been observing him as his future business partner, if you will, and it's been, frankly, very enlightening, and frankly, it's been very refreshing because I have reinforced in my own mind that I made a good decision.
How do you balance the training that you have to participate in, the tremendous amount of time that you have to contribute at a point in time where you have much less time, where you have to go out and generate money because you're the rainmaker? How do you balance that? To me, that is the most difficult thing to do, and I tend to short train the people that I'm training.
Well, it depends upon each individual. In this particular case, my plan is that there are going to be certain rudimentary tasks that have to be accomplished. And in my mind, those, once he's up and running on the various and sundry software programs and the various and sundry contact management software that I utilize, that's going to be pretty much perfunctory. He's going to know how to do that, and he's going to know that he can always fall back on that. When we start getting into qualifying a requirement, previewing buildings for a building tour, understanding what's a real deal, what's not a real deal, understanding who's a real owner, who's not a real owner, the nuances of making transaction, financing scenarios, lease versus purchase, all of that stuff that you have to learn to be successful, that's just going to come over time. But from a pure marketing associate standpoint, I believe there are going to be enough things for him to do that if I'm out and about, busy making deals and I don't grab him to come be a part of those meetings, he'll have plenty to do.
I had a partner that when he brought in another associate, he would have the associate shadow him for about 3 months or more. That is an incredible expense to have an attorney do that. What are your thoughts on that strategy?
I have considered it, and I don't know if 3 months is the right time or if it's a 2 weeks or a week or whatever, but I, in a sense, I like it. And I mentioned I've spent a lot of time thinking about how I'm going to utilize an associate, and I kind of pictured in my mind, okay, if I adopted that shadowing strategy, and as an example, what would he be doing right now? Because for me to be your friend and your guest on CRE Radio, and you and I know the benefits of that kind of an activity, but what's he doing? Is he sitting in the chair across the room and listening? He's certainly not participating. What about when you're in front of your computer screen and you're responding to emails? Does he sit next to you while you're responding to the emails? I mean, those are the things that I frankly haven't resolved in my mind. What about when I go home early at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and take a nap? I'm only kidding, darling, in case you're listening.
Well, I mean, you're old, so you
but,
need
but
to
you
do.
Follow, you follow what I'm saying. So that whole shadowing strategy makes some sense to me up to a point. And then at a point, I kind of scratch my head and say, boy, would he be better off spending those couple hours while I'm answering emails studying for his agent's license? Possibly.
Well, now, you said he might be listening to this show, right? Now, what's your son-in-law's name again?
His name is Joshua.
Joshua, if you're listening to this show right now, you ought to call in 619-393-6492, and I'd like your idea or your ideas. And Alan didn't know that I was going to do this, and yeah, the shadowing idea probably wouldn't make sense for him to curl up in bed with you when you come home in the middle of the afternoon to take a nap. But if you're listening, and of course now we'll find out if you really are, we call in. That's 619-393-6492, and I will put you into the queue. So if you have any questions for your father-in-law, let's air it out in public.
How about that?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So the long and short-term training, that would be a combination of, you know, like shadowing you would be a long-term training project, correct?
I would know. I don't believe so.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Believe so. The long-term training process would be more in tune with goals that I'd like to see accomplished for our mutual best interest. And when I think about long-term projects, I think more in terms of let's identify 50 buildings between X and Y square footage. Let's know everything about those 50 buildings. And that's time consuming. And we already have a lot of that information, but we need it up to date in real time. And then how do we communicate with those 50 building owners or those 50 occupants? And what do they need in terms of information from us, and how often? And how do we respond to that? Do we send them constant contacts? Do we email them? Do we try to connect with them via social media, et cetera. So I view those kinds of projects as being more long-term as opposed to the short-term marketing support that I'm seeking.
And now let's take a break for a few words from the good people who pay all the bills around here. And by the way, I don't see a call from your son-in-law.
Wow. He may be home taking a nap.
Yeah, he might be. He may have taken that in.
CRE Radio is supported by Prospect Now. Locate building owner principals faster and smarter at prospectnow.com. By The Broker List. Find brokers, deals, services, and vendors free online at thebrokerlist.com. And by Techniques Marketing. Grow your key account revenues at techniquesmarketing.com.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today. If you need anything with your company logo on it, you need Monogram Magic. T-shirts, ball caps, polo shirts, anything. Monogram Magic does it beautifully, does it right, and does it right on time. For over 20 years, Monogram Magic has produced corporate apparel your people will be proud to wear. Large orders or small, it's all about attention to detail. See for yourself. Here's the website, logostolife.com. That's L-O-G-O-S, the number 2, then L-I-F-E.com, logostolife.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or email to questions@creradio.com.
Welcome back to our discussion on maximizing your real estate brokerage practice with assistants such as a marketing assistant. And we are talking with Alan Buchanan with Lee and Associates. Before the break, I wanted to ask you, how many hours a week do you expect your son-in-law to work?
Yeah. How about that? I hope he is listening in. A minimum of 40 hours a week.
Minimum? And, wait a second. I've got to stop
what?
You there.
Yeah.
Minimum of 40 hours a week. I got to tell you,
right.
I would have said a minimum of 60 hours a week. How many hours a week do you work?
25, 26?
Yeah.
Are we talking a day or are we talking...
Yeah, 25 or 26 hours a day.
Yeah.
Now, seriously, between all the things that you do, you have got to be, if you're successful,
60.
You have got to be working 60 hours or more a week in today's day and age.
Correct. No, that's absolutely right. 60 for me. Now, part of the reason I say a minimum of 40 is Joshua will be an employee. And as we all know that live in our great state of California, there are some rules and regs against an employee working in excess of 40 hours. Now, the way we get around that is there's a compensation piece to his package that includes a percent of my production, which he's going to be an integral part of. So that's why I said a minimum of 40 hours. There may be some weeks where it's longer. There may be some weeks where it's 40, but certainly a minimum of 40 hours. And frankly, I'm going to leave some of the rest of that up to him in terms of how much he wants to work, because I'm a big believer and always have been throughout my career about life-work balance. And he's married to my daughter, and I don't want to have Joshua spending 80 hours a week doing commercial real estate only to have it crater their marriage. Then it would be completely counterproductive. So I am very keen on that work-life balance, and they're going to have to sort of sort through that, if you will. I know my wife Carla and I did when I first started in the business, because candidly, if I could have, I would have worked 90 hours a week. I thoroughly loved it. But I had a little baby, and I had a marriage, and I had responsibilities and love, and wanted to continue those. Those, frankly, were more important than making money. So it's all about maintaining a balanced life, in my opinion.
So you just mentioned something else that I'm an utter failure at, and that is a work-life balance. There's no such thing for me. And most lawyers who handle any kind of litigation, there is no such thing as taking off for the weekends, you know, because we might have to be in court on Monday. So often working on weekends is the thing that we have to do, and I have never been good at this. It's a shame, but it is absolutely true. Nevertheless, anyone who has worked for me, I don't expect them, well, maybe in a certain way I do, but I, if they're a secretary or something, I really don't want them working more than a 40-hour week. And it's not because it's not because I'm concerned about the employment laws. It's because I think that in order for people to be most efficient, they shouldn't work like me.
Right.
You know,
right.
Don't do as I say. Don't do as I do.
Exactly. And that's absolutely right. Certainly there are examples in here of folks that exceed that amount of work hours. There are certainly examples in here of folks that don't. I sure know that between 2001 and 2000 and middle of 2008, I kind of had it dialed in. I knew I had 10 clients, and they bought and sold a couple of buildings each year, and I'd have to work very hard. And then the world came to an end in 2008, and I realized that all 10 of those clients didn't have the ability to buy or sell anything anymore, because if they wanted to sell something, their property was worth 40% of what it was the year before. And to try to buy something without selling something and generating some equity, they didn't have that ability. So I had to go back to work and work hard. And so between 2000 and the dawn of 2009 till probably the middle part of 2012, 60 hours was, I mean, that was a short week. There were many weeks where it was 75, 80 hours. And my wife, fortunately, was in school, so I had that time that I could work. Our kids were grown and gone, so I didn't have those responsibilities. But I've whittled that back a little bit now. I still work probably 60 hours a week, but if I have to work from home, if I have to be out and answering emails, technology has enabled me to do a lot of that.
Well, we'll return with more from Alan Buchanan right after these friendly messages, at which time I'd like to talk about the strategy and the logic of trying to train someone ultimately to be a partner and what it takes to do that.
CRE Radio is supported by Monogram Magic. For the best in corporate apparel, visit logostolife.com. Buy Note Marketplace. Buy and sell notes online at notemarketplace.com. And by Building Blocks CRE. Manage contacts, properties, listings, and more at blockscre.com.
The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today.
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail. And it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com. Create your own account. Market your empty spaces or view available locations for your business. All on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @creradio or email to questions@creradio.com.
And welcome back to CRE Radio. We're talking with Alan Buchanan, and we were just about to talk about training an employee, a marketing assistant, an intern, training someone to ultimately be a partner and the logic behind something like that. Now, in your particular case, Alan, you have a unique situation and you have a family member who might be able to carry on the legacy of Alan Buchanan. That was called a pregnant.
We should have a, you should say that into an echo chamber, yeah, you know?
I can do that. I can do post-production here. I'll do that. But even if he wasn't your son-in-law and a family member, I believe that there is logic in training people to basically, that it's to your benefit to train someone to ultimately be better than you. What are your thoughts?
And I've actually done that. I've done that on a couple of occasions. One of my shareholder partners' name is Brian Miller. Brian and I began working together in 1986. I'd been in the business 2 years at the time, and I guess that qualified me to train a new associate. I wasn't even a shareholder at the time. And Brian and I have remained friends and coworkers now for 28 years or so. Brian has exceeded my production many of the past few years. Others in the firm, Christopher Destino comes to mind, someone that I had a hand in training. Christopher exceeded my production last year. Philip DeRoos is another one that's in the office currently that is going to be a superstar. You can just kind of feel it. And so there have certainly been a number of others throughout the years that I've had a hand in training. And as they say, the student has bettered the teacher in many cases.
Well, in your case, you set the bar so low, it's not that difficult, I'm assuming.
It's true, but then again, you're well over 6'3", so everyone looks low to you.
Oh, yes, a little zinger there.
Yeah, so fighting fire with fire, brother.
Yeah, that's why we like doing this show. When you train someone, how do you – now, there's a tremendous amount of investment of your time in training them. And this is one of the objections that you've had to your system of runners. When you spend all this time, how do you keep them down on the farm once they've seen Perry?
Precisely. And I don't know the answer because I've never been able to figure that out. So our typical model is you want to hire one type and one type only, and that is the type that ultimately is going to be a rainmaker. And so when a rainmaker gets a little bit of taste of the deal and a rainmaker believes all of a sudden that he doesn't have to listen to the mentor anymore, he knows what he needs to go out there and make money, then He's an eaglet that's ready to test out his wings and jump out of the nest. And in one sense, you want your future shareholders to have that kind of grit, but do they really have what's necessary to go out there and make big rain or just go out there and make a little sprinkle? And in my mind, the skills necessary to make the big rain, in other words, chase the bigger transactions, chase the more complicated transactions, figure out how to represent a multi-state tenant who has a number of locations, et cetera. Those are the kind of skills that take more than 6 to 8 months to learn. Those are the kind of skills that you spend a career learning how to do. And if a new associate is so concerned with making money so that he can pay the mortgage and pay his car payment, then he's not going to learn the skills necessary to be a big producer someday. So once again, we're back to the compensation package. The way I have designed Joshua's compensation package is so that he can learn, so that he can get a taste of what it means to make a transaction, but he's not dependent upon that. that dependence is left to me because I know how to go out and do it. Hopefully I can still remember how to go out and do it. But he's not going to have to go out and do it until such time as in our collective minds we believe, okay, ready to take the next step now. I want to go out and maybe try to source some transactions.
It's interesting. When I have retained other associates to work with me as an attorney, and mind you, I don't consider myself very good at this. Usually in the interview, in the interview process, almost every attorney is always asked, how do I become a partner? Or is there an opportunity to become a partner? And my response always was, yes, there is an opportunity. And when they want to know how do they become a partner, my response was always, make yourself so invaluable to me that I have no choice but to make you a partner, that it makes so much sense for me to partner with you and share with you what I do, that that's going to happen. Now, in the reverse is how I would look at it if I were you, saying, how do I keep these people that I train? Because I want to train them to be better than me. I want to train them so that they generate more money. I don't want them to be only as good as I am. But I think part of that is continuously learning yourself and continuously providing valuable training and insight that comes with, you have to spend time with these people no matter what, constant meetings, but also forever learning.
Right. So I couldn't agree with that. I couldn't agree with that statement more. And let's just use social media as an example. You know, social media 5-6 years ago, yeah, it was around, but was it largely used in our industry? No. Is it largely used in our industry today? Still no. Some of us have adopted it. Some of us use it. But that's been a constant learning curve, learning how to adapt yourself to an owner market versus a tenant market and the constant changes that take place there, compliance and regulatory issues that we have to deal with today that we didn't have to deal with 15 years ago. So, believe me, if you're not learning and growing in this business, then you're stagnating.
Well, that applies to the training process, too. Have things changed over the last 30 years? I mean, do you train differently than what was done 30 years ago?
You absolutely do. 30 years ago, when I started in Orange County, you have to appreciate that all types of transactions were abundant and could be secured if you just were willing to identify them and go after them. And what I mean by that is if you wanted to sell investment real estate, you could do it. If you wanted to lease or sell office buildings, you could do it. If you wanted to sell in retail buildings, you could do it. If you wanted to sell industrial manufacturing buildings, you could do it. If you wanted to represent developers and do ground-up development work and handle the backside of those projects, you could do it. Now, for all intents and purposes, Orange County is developed. There aren't really any developer opportunities remaining. The investment market has become so doggone institutionalized. Sure, there's still mom-and-pop investors, but to be able to represent mom-and-pop investors exclusively and or represent owners of property selling their investments, that's become a real thing of the past unless you're institutionally geared. If you look at the listing inventory, it's in the handful of about 5 or 6 companies in my marketplace. So the landscape has dramatically changed. And so how do you respond to that changing landscape and how do you, in fact, change your training to respond to that? And you bet it's different, than it's ever been before. When I first started, you didn't have computers, you didn't have fax machines, you didn't have voicemail. And as a result, now you do. And there's the whole aspect of internet marketing. That's the whole aspect of social media marketing. You now have to be creative in getting past the quote-unquote gatekeeper because virtually no company you're going to call today, you're going to get through to anyone that is a real person unless you're somewhat skillful at doing that. So our business has changed. It's much more complex. There's much more competition. In our marketplace, there are many fewer types of deals to work on. So all of that has created a whole new training paradigm.
Well, I think it also, there are some things that change. When I trained as a broker, excuse me, in 1983 in New York City, the gatekeeper issue was already there. I mean, that was like, how do you get through the receptionist? That was extremely difficult. Of course, we didn't have computers then, but back then, if you're in New York City, I basically canvassed buildings, starting at the 50th floor and working my way down. In a lot of buildings, in the Class A buildings in New York City, you can't do that. You can't get into the building.
So, right.
And of course, when we would want to find out what was going on in the market, we would get flyers, and someone in the office would organize the flyers in the file cabinet. That's not how you search anymore. You know, so there's a lot more information available, and of course, everybody has access to it. So it's that much more difficult. You have to be more intelligent, I think. It's not brute force labor anymore. I think it's just how to be more intelligent and do your job better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. And it has also placed a premium on who you know in many cases. It's always been about that. But given the example that you just cited, where you can't get into a building, that's the case in a lot of industrial buildings in my marketplace as well. And so how do you circumvent that? Well, one of my buddies said, well, you know, Buchanan, you just network your way in. And well, that's true, because if I can find through one of my many connections, be it social media, be it my networking connections, et cetera, if I can figure out a way to have someone I know introduce me to the right person, guess what? They're going to meet you with open arms. So there's a whole nother skill set involved how to effectively network.
You're listening to CRE Radio. When we come back, we're going to end the show with a discussion on how to get the intern or marketing assistant involved in social media, or should they be involved in social media? And if so, at what point in time should you involve them? So we will be right back.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockcre.com. For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @creradio or send an email to questions@creradio.com.
Welcome back to CRE Radio. We are talking with Alan Buchanan, and we are now going to talk about bringing in the intern or marketing assistant into social media. And the reason why I'm asking this, Alan, is that in a prior conversation where you and I were talking about this, your position was, you know, that's really your job. It's not the marketing assistant, although the marketing assistant has the word marketing in it. Has your opinion changed? And if not, why don't you explain your position?
You've beaten me into submission, so I would say that my position has softened somewhat. Because I've also, taking a look at how I use the media and what I do on a day-to-day basis, and thought in terms of what of these functions could I potentially outsource or have Joshua help me with. My contention is this. I believe that if you are a content creator, which I am, which you are, the content creation should be, first and foremost, our objective. To try to outsource the creation of content, in my mind, it makes no sense. Now, how that content is distributed through the various channels, in other words, the rudiments of tweeting it, the rudiments of setting it up to go to LinkedIn groups or Facebook pages or sending it to Linda Day Harrison at the broker list or what have you, yeah, that's something that could be outsourced, and that's time-consuming. I know my Tuesday traffic tips, it takes me about a minute and a half to produce it, and it probably takes me another 30 minutes to get it distributed. And so, sure, I would foresee a day where I would walk into the office with my iPad and say, Joshua, I just created a video on Tuesday traffic tips. Could you please dump it into – see, I use that word dump again. Dump it into YouTube and distribute it, share it through the various and sundry channels. That would be – assuming the commentary and how you sort of sell opening the video, right, assuming that could be something I could teach him how to do, then, yes, that is something, candidly, that could be outsourced. When people start tweeting and mentioning and there's an engagement factor involved, I believe that's also a function that content creators need to pay attention to. Because if you've created a content, if you've pushed it through the channels, and now all of a sudden you get a quote-unquote hit, in other words, someone has been kind enough to retweet it, mention you, comment on a blog, et cetera, I believe it's incumbent upon us to engage with that person. They've taken the time. We owe it to them. Give them back the time. And that's the piece that you and I talked about. In my mind, you shouldn't outsource that, because that tends to lose authenticity for the content creator.
I actually agree with you 100%. Oh, shame on me. I don't know how
then that's a wrap.
Yeah, let's quit while we're ahead. I couldn't agree with you more, but if I was bringing my son-in-law in or any other intern, I would also work them into social media. Now, honestly, they may be more familiar with social – well, being more familiar with social media is not likely the case in my case or your case, but most other people it might be. But I would work them in and have them establish – I think you should, in your blog, have them as a guest blogger, where if they have the capability, they should tweet and blog about their experiences working with you, the things that they're learning. If they're able to write it in a first person, then the excitement of what they're learning could really come across. And they can not only supplement what you're doing, but they can create their own following. And as they learn more and more and more, you're then establishing a team. They're not replacing Alan Buchanan, who has to stay involved, because that interaction in social media is so very, very important, as you well know. But you then add a team member who can supplement what you're doing and provide a different perspective.
Without a doubt. So maybe we're mincing words here, but in my way of thinking, what you just described falls into the category of training someone to use the media to build commercial real estate business.
Yes.
Where you and I were juxtaposed was the outsourcing piece.
Right.
What you described, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I've even thought in those terms. Hey, how cool would it be to have the flip side? Here I'm writing about my experiences, but have the flip side opinion, the flip side of that be out there as well. I think that's critically important. What I think of in terms of outsourcing, and I'll use my friend Bridget Willard as an example, because Bridget does a phenomenal job in all of her various medias, through tweets, through blogs. She is the face behind Riggins Construction. It's interesting that Bridget is not the owner of Riggins Construction, nor is Bridget the person that, if you call Riggins to engage them as a general contractor, you don't get Bridget answer the phone, but she's not the one that comes out and meets your client. Yet you've got a relationship with Riggins through Bridget. So, you know, she and I have talked a couple of times about, isn't that, I mean, you've done such a great job creating this identity, building these relationships, building this following, yet you're not the person that actually accomplishes the general contracting job. So that's where I get a little murky. You know, if you and I have a relationship and all of a sudden you say, hey, Alan, I want you to be on CRE radio, and come to find out I'm not even the commercial real estate practitioner, that's someone else in the company that does that, I'm just the face of the social media effort, that wouldn't, I'm guessing, play very well with you.
I agree with you. I don't believe that outsourcing your interaction is a good thing, because you have the ability to interact. You have the ability to create content, but not everybody does. Bobby Reuter is a perfect case in point. She's not the broker doing all of the deals at her office, but she is the face of that office in social media, and she does a wonderful job doing that. Not everybody. Now, in the context of an intern or marketing associate, I think that they need to be trained on how to use social media to create their own business and their own identity. But not everybody has the ability to write and create content or do it well. And in that particular instance, and this is, again, not an intern situation, it's a little bit different. We've gone a little bit astray here. In the instance where someone understands that over the next 20 years they're going to be in the business and they're just not going to be writing stuff and they're just not going to be actively involved in social media, I think that they can outsource that. The difficulty is finding someone who would do a good job for them and doing it in an affordable fashion.
Without a doubt. And there's still that, and maybe you and I are just going to agree to disagree on this point, but there's still that issue of engagement. Bridget Willard said it best when she said the real ROI of social media is the engagement.
Yes.
And I believe that, you know, truer words have never been spoken. That's what folks discount when they outsource their media efforts.
For the most
part.
Yeah,
I get the fact that, you know, you do a beautiful job with your radio show. I can't do that because I've not chosen to learn that particular technology. Folks have asked me, gee, why don't you have your own radio show? Well, why would I do that when my friend Howard Klein has it and he asked me to be his guest occasionally and he does a much better job than I could ever do with that? So you've taken it upon yourself to learn that, to do that, to become an expert at that. If I were to embark upon that, I would have to outsource that. So in that circumstance, yes, I agree with you. When there's an expertise that so far exceeds what yours ever could be, absolutely. Outsourcing, it makes a lot of sense.
So that kind of brings us full circle. You basically have to get someone else to do things because you can't do everything.
Exactly.
And it's taken you over 30 years to realize that.
A slow learner, my friend. I don't have a law degree on the wall like you do.
Oh, yeah. Well, that doesn't mean that much. It's a piece of paper, that's all. So let's wrap up the show. And let's talk a little bit about it. If there was one thing that a listener should take away from this show, what do you think that it is?
examine how much of your revenue you share and how some of that could be brought in-house by hiring an assistant.
Good. I have two words. Actually, it's three words. Plan and patience. The two P's. Borrowing from Bo Barron, who talked about the three P's on the show, but those are the two P's, plan and patience. So, Alan, I'd like to thank you. I want to just tell our listeners that we have a show next Friday that will be a preview of the CRESFE conference. That's CRE Finance Council, their conference, the high yield finance conference that they're having on the 13th and 14th of May in Santa Monica at the Fairmont Hotel. I am going to be there conducting video interviews, and I am working in cooperation with the law firm of Allen Matkins. It's something I'm very excited about doing, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the people over at the CREFC conference and Allen Matkins. And next week's show is some of the speakers are going to be talking about CREFC as well as what they're going to be talking about there. May is a really big month for me in terms of conferences. I'm going to be at the IMN conference, which is the General Counsel and CFO Forum in Newport Beach at the Fairmont Hotel. That'll be on May 5th and 6th. As I had just mentioned, on the 13th and 14th, I'm going to be doing video interviews at the CREFC conference. And on the 19th and 20th, I will be at Recon. Our annual Recon show will be then and conducting quite a few conferences. So it's going to be a busy, busy month, and I'll probably have 30 or 40 videos in the can as a result of the month of May. Alan, as usual, thank you very much. This has been a very enlightening conversation. I really enjoyed this, as contrary to, you know, what I expected of you. And now, for the listeners, you have to understand, when people like me really like someone else, it's the old rank on them. We get very caustic with each other because we're hopefully comfortable enough to say things like that. It's almost terms of endearment. Would you not agree?
I 100% agree. And Howard, it's always my pleasure to be your guest. You're a delightful guy, and I really appreciate what you do for our industry, and you have wonderful guests. And you know, if you're not tuning in to CRE Radio every single week or every single time it's available, you're missing out. So tune in.
And to our audience, leave comments and see show notes at www.creradio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
Please listen again next time to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Every live and recorded broadcast is accessible on your desktop, tablet, or smartphone at creradio.com or in iTunes, just search for CRE Radio. Here's how to reach us with your questions, feedback, and show topics you'd like to hear about. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CRE Radio. Via email to questions@creradio.com or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented on an informational basis only, with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our listeners. Howard and his guests' conversations specifically do not offer legal advice. If you need legal advice, please consult your own attorney. Portions of the show may have been pre-recorded. Unauthorized editing or copying of the show without the express written consent of CRE Radio is strictly prohibited. All rights reserved.
And that's a wrap.